Now, Ask Dr. Love with psychotherapist, author, love and relationship expert, Jamie Turndorf, PhD. For expert advice on love and relationships, call into the show at 888-463-6748. That's 888-GO-FOR-IT. Or you can submit your question online at AskDrLove.com. Now, here's Dr. Love.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Ask Dr. Love Radio. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf, and it's my pleasure to be with you again this week. Today's show I'm calling, Are Your Man-Chasing Ways Chasing Men Away? And I want you to know that it is by letting go of the reins that you're actually going to tug at the reins of a man's heart. So let me ask you a hard question. Do your efforts to find a husband feel more like scaling an insurmountable mountain peak? I mean, does your search for a him feel like an uphill hike to the Himalayas? And do you secretly wish to get a rest from climbing the male Mount Everest? Well, if you feel like a salmon who's always spawning upstream in search of a mate, while the men you're after keep hitting the pike, get it, salmon and pike, the fish, really bad. Stay tuned to find out if your efforts may actually be pushing men away. So in this show, I'm going to help you see why your take charge behaviors in the romantic realm are actually causing men to discharge you. And you're going to soon see that evolutionary psychology actually explains that men are hardwired to pursue women. And when women overfunction by chasing men, they unwittingly turn men off to them. So I'm going to be showing you how to resolve the underlying psychological factors that fuel the chasing. And I'm going to show you how you can signal your interest and encourage a man to pursue you without your chasing him, so you can magically become the male magnet you were born to be. So get ready to hang up those hiking boots and take a breather, because your hard treks in search of a husband are officially over. All right. And I'm going to also be doing three columns this week. The first one is Rekindling Love in Alaska, hopefully. And in this column, I advise a woman who's about to make a trip to the snowy peaks of Alaska in order to propose to the man she loves. And she's already bought his engagement ring. So should she put the ring on layaway? Stay tuned to find out how I suggest that she proceed. And next, in Does She Really Love Me?, I advise a man whose girlfriend refused to follow him back to his country after his visa renewal was declined. Then weeks later, she said that she would just move as far to be near her brother. So is she a healthy woman who refuses to chase her guy, or is her behavior a sign of disinterest? So stick around to find out the truth about this gal. And in Not Moving Forward After 8 Months, I advise a 60-year-old woman whose 60-year-old, never-married boyfriend is stalling their relationship. And she wants to know how to address the issue with him without sounding demanding or desperate. So you'll hear the secret for how to handle this tough patch without sending him packing. And then I'll be doing a Reading Between the Sheets segment, and you know what that's about. And this one is called In My Husband Loves Me But Doesn't Like Kissing. And I help a woman understand why her husband of 7 years refuses to kiss her passionately. So stick around to find out the real meaning of their lip lock deadlock. So on to today's show. Are you chasing men away with your man-chasing ways? For millions of women, the task of finding a husband feels like scaling an insurmountable mountain peak. And I want you to know it's by precisely hanging up those mountaineering boots and abandoning that uphill trek in search of a husband that you're going to effortlessly draw your ideal mate to you. I know it sounds too good to be true, but it's true. So first, we're going to look at the signs that you're overfunctioning in your mate selection process. And then I'm going to help you understand the scientific reasons behind why working too hard at finding a man paradoxically backfires and makes men back away from you. And don't worry. If you discover that you are working the program more than you should, I'm going to show you how to break free of this pattern so you can become the man magnet you were meant to be. Now, I know you're an attractive and a capable woman. You're assertive. You go after what you want in life. You probably have a good job. You make a nice income. And because you're used to going after what you want, when a man comes along who you find appealing, you set out to reel him in. So you call him, you text him, you email him. You're even liberated enough to ask him on a date. And then you cook for him, you do him favors, you put him first, you wait by the phone, you give up opportunities to do things with your women friends so that you're free for him. And since you're so attracted to him, you may have even put the moves on him early on. And the sex, well, it's mind-blowing. But invariably, he blows the joint. So maybe he doesn't cut out immediately because his ego may be flattered by all your attention and the good sex. But sooner rather than later, you hear the same old story. He's not ready for a relationship. He needs space. And then he's gone for good. And worst of all, this scenario occurs over and over and over again to the point that you're beginning to wonder if you've got courtship cooties. So what is wrong here? You're not ugly. You're sweet. You're smart. You're accomplished. You have so much love to offer. So why can't you get past square one with men? And why are other women finding good men to settle down with, maybe even the same, very same men who dropped you? Well, believe it or not, when it comes to dating, when you take the wheel and you sit in the driver's seat, you actually are driving men away from you. Why is this? Well, first, I want to give you a crash course on mate selection from an evolutionary perspective. First, I want you to know men need the chase. They want to chase and win the one woman that no man can tame or catch. And if you make it easy on him, he loses interest in you. So if you're a valuable prize that he needs to compete for, he'll treat you like gold and he'll take care of you because he knows if he did no less, someone out there would claim his prize away from him. So the motivations behind mate selection behaviors really derive from the biological differences between the sexes. So biologically, both the female brain and the effects of estrogen in a woman's system means that women are built primarily for connection and social harmony. And this is what drives a female from the moment she's born. Without being conscious of it at all, maintaining the social approval of others and the relationship at all costs is the goal. And if you are wired as a girl and you've got estrogen coursing through your system, this is what you're going to be doing. Now, for men, it's a very different story. The flow of testosterone combined with their brain makeup leads them to want to be potent and affect the world, and they value personal strength, protection, providing, and sexual prowess. So, in summary, women put their relationship needs first and their personal needs second, and men put their own needs first and their relational needs second. Now, women tend to overfunction in their togetherness and emotional closeness and underfunction in their independent individual self. But men, on the other hand, tend to overfunction on their individual self and underfunction in their togetherness and emotional closeness. And this is all biologically driven. And there's more. Men are wired for variety, not monogamy. You make a t-shirt, variety, not monogamy. Like all male animals, human males are biologically programmed to impregnate as many healthy females as possible. This is to ensure that they will produce the largest amount of healthy offspring. And this wiring ensures, basically, the survival of the species. So choosing one woman goes against a man's biological programming. And when a man does choose to settle down, he has to feel that his woman is so amazing and that she possesses all the best aspects of every woman rolled into one. And when he gets this feeling, he doesn't need multiple women because he feels that all women are embodied in the one woman he loves. And when a woman is unpredictable and funny and keeps her guy guessing, she's actually fueling his need for excitement and variety. And when the craving for variety is satisfied within the relationship, most normal men will be content to remain in a monogamous relationship. Of course, that excludes the players, the Don Juans, the Casanovas, the commitment and intimacy phobics who can't be faithful due to their own emotional problems or their buried rage toward women or even hidden homosexuality. Now, in addition to variety, men are also wired to choose the most desirable, healthy, and attractive females to ensure sturdy offspring. So this explains why in both the animal and human kingdoms, males compete against other males for the best females. So in fact, men are wired to fight to the death in order to win a desirable female from other males who are also competing for her hand or rump. So men are drawn to a woman who conveys that she's smart and resourceful, because on a primitive biological level, men know that these traits, when passed on, ensure the best offspring. And men are wired to move mountains and slay dragons. Remember, it's all about actions in order to win desirable females away from other competing males. So if you notice, the male's role is all about action, pursuing, and winning a woman away from his rivals. So if you're doing the chasing, you need to know that most men do not like to be chased. And the ones that do are lazy, and that's not the kind of guy you want to have in a long-term, you don't want to have in a long-term relationship. So a woman who's aware that she's worth fighting for would never stoop to pleading, begging, chasing, or stalking a man, because doing so says that she's desperate, undesirable, and definitely not worth having or keeping. And if a woman triggers this switch in a man's brain, he's going to turn off to her forever. Now, a lot of women don't realize that they are chasing and pursuing a guy when they are. So let me just give you some of the symptoms that you're chasing and pursuing. And these things you may think of as friendly, but they're actually chasing. Now, if it feels like you're going to lose him by not letting him know you're interested in him, you may start calling him before he calls you. And this includes calling him because you heard or read about something interesting, or because you knew that there was a great band playing somewhere, or someone told you about some great event that you want to invite him to, anything at all. And it also includes calling to ask why he hasn't called you. Now, you are chasing if you initiate contact by emailing him, texting him, Facebooking him, sending him a cute card, dropping by his house, or in any way attempting to initiate some kind of contact. And you're chasing if you make suggestions or plans, inviting him to come and join you, or in any way acting like the social director of the relationship. And you're chasing if you ask him how he feels. And this includes especially asking him how he feels about you or the relationship. Now, these are the things that most women do almost without thinking about it, because they feel natural to us, and we excuse ourselves by thinking that we're just being friendly. And at the heart of this is one fear: feeling like you're going to lose the guy by not letting him know that you're interested in him. Okay, and nothing could be further from the truth, because everything on that list I just gave you is the same as putting a sign on your chest that says needy, and it smacks of desperation, and it's just plain not attractive to a man. Now, he may like it, he may be flattered, he may have nobody else around him, and so he'll date you, and he may even come to like you very much, and he may even end up in a relationship with you. But you're never going to know how he really feels about you when you are doing all the heavy lifting. And besides, when you overfunction, you don't allow the guy room to breathe. And when you do too much for him, you're smothering him. And at the worst, he'll take a hike. And at the very least, if you do end up in a relationship with him, you're going to have to realize that you're training him early on. Because they say that, you know, the side of the bed that you and your partner choose early on becomes your side for life. Well, think about it in relationship terms. In the early stages of a relationship, you establish your roles. And these roles are intractable. So if you're chasing him and doing all the heavy lifting, you're training him, you're training his relationship muscles to be lazy with you. And in every relationship, my mom used to say, there's the kisser and the kissed. And if you're going to set up the roles this way from the start, and you're going to chase the dude, and that's going to be your destiny. So to break free, you have to know what causes you to behave this way and resolve the underlying reasons. Let me just take a brief break. When I come back, I'm going to tell you what are the underlying psychological reasons that cause a woman to chase a and pursue a guy, and then I'm going to show you how to heal them. I'll be right back in a second on Ask Dr. Love Radio.
You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. To speak to Dr. Turndorf live on the air, call 888-463-6748. AskDrLove.com is the web's premier relationship advice site since 1996. Visit AskDrLove.com to search thousands of free relationship advice articles on any relationship issue you may have, or you can submit a question to her free advice column. However, if you're listening live, why not call in? Don't be shy. Dr. Turndorf wants to help you, and this is a unique chance to get a personal answer from one of today's most respected experts. So if you have a question for her, please call in now at 888-463-6748. That's 888-463-6748. Now back to Ask Dr. Love with Jamie Turndorf, PhD. Once again, here's Dr. Love.
I'm talking about whether you're chasing men out the door with your man-chasing ways. And I've explained that chasing men actually drives them away because you are depriving them of their biologically driven imperative need to pursue and chase women that they're interested in. So now we're going to talk about what causes a woman to chase and pursue guys. Now let's peel the layers back on this onion. The outer layer is obviously a wish to push back feelings of fear and anxiety. So deep down, you're likely afraid that the guy won't call you. So you act on the fear and you call him first. And you're afraid of not having him in your life or of being alone forever. So this fear covers another fear, which is, you know, this fear covers a low self-esteem, because this all boils down to a self-esteem that isn't up to par. If you don't feel lovable, you have to work hard to do things for a guy to convince him that you are worthy of his love. And if you don't love your own company, meaning you can't stand being alone with yourself, and if you aren't willing to be on your own, then you're going to chase and you're going to settle for less. So obviously, you can't sit back and be the man magnet that you were born to be if you don't feel good enough about yourself. To convey the right message, a woman has to know on a deep internal level that she's desirable and wanted by other men. This is easier said than done. So to do this, to be able to do this, this isn't an act. This is not playing hard to get. You have to really first raise what I call your personal net worth. Your self-love has to grow. You have to heal the wounded inner child inside you that feels unworthy. And this started from the time you were very young. And of course, I explain how to do that healing until death do us part, where I show you how to identify the exact wound, how you were hurt, neglected, rejected, how you can come to yourself and reparent yourself, how to care for yourself, mind, body, and spirit, and taking the time to do what you love. And when your self-esteem is up, when you know that you are top drawer, you don't need to say a word. You simply radiate confidence, and that's not the same as arrogance. And it's clear that you're choosy and you're selective, and it's not about playing games to make a man jealous, because even a blind man can see through playing games. And that game ends in a checkmate, not finding a mate. So it's about a woman possessing a deep feeling of confidence, of knowing that she can choose from her many suitors, and a woman needs to feel her personal net worth. Now, when you feel this confidence, this naturally motivates a man to win your hand and keep it. And when your self-esteem is high, you then have the confidence to do what is your job in the mate selection process, which is to send out green lights. And I call these green lights the various verbal and nonverbal cues that women send to let a man know that they are interested in them. And it turns out all the observational research out there shows that even we think men make the first moves, but women really do by sending out green lights. Open, approachable body language, smiling, facing the guy. So you're giving him the green lights that say you are receptive to his interest. But we're back to where we started, as you can see. Your job is to inspire a man to come forward and do what he's wired to do, which is engage in various acts that are designed to win you and keep you. And when he acts, then it is the woman's job to admire and appreciate his efforts so that he'll want to do more of the same and ultimately win you and keep you for life. Now, women often say to me, oh, but that gives him all the power and the control. Well, don't kid yourself. You have the ultimate power, the power to choose. Now, this is a new way of being with a man that makes him want to be around you all the time, makes him want to caress you, pull you close, and tell you he loves you. And this subtle energy shift makes a tremendous difference in how a man starts to pursue you for a change, and he's going to want all your time and all your attention. When you feel comfortable in your own skin, you won't have to hide your feelings or the real you, and then he'll feel comfortable being with you. And by the way, according to research, men always say that they're drawn to women that make them feel comfortable. So what I'm talking about here is cultivating a kind of dualistic Zen attitude. You're warm, you're inviting, you're receptive, you're appreciative of his efforts, but at the same time, you love yourself enough to know that you are fine without him. If he doesn't step up to the plate and pursue you and work to keep you, you're fine without him. Another train will be coming in the station. And when you feel confident, then and only then are you going to be able to live this duality, which is the opposite of chasing. And the duality is your self-love combined with an open-hearted, receptive, and appreciative manner. This is what will magnetize men to you. Believe me when I say it. All right, that's what my housekeeper, Donna, always says. Believe me when I say it. So I'm copying her. Now, let me give you some tweets on this topic. Oh, I really waxed poetic on this. All right, so here we go. If he isn't pursuing you, beware of asking him for more. That's a sure way to send him heading for the door. If he feels you're after his purse, your relationship will go in reverse. If he senses that you cannot be alone, his heart will swiftly turn to stone. If you see him as your lungs and air, it won't be long before he washes you from his hair. If he keeps finding reasons to hit the bricks, your relationship is already in the sticks. When a woman thinks highly of herself, she will never be one to sit upon the shelf. When a woman feels like top drawer, she has men begging her for more. Thinking of yourself as the one is the way to hit a home run. If you keep asking him out, you're going to strike out. If you're the only one pitching the ball, your relationship will hit a stall. Taking care of him like a mother will have him running for cover. Recipe for romance. If you're under 18, you got to hit the bricks right now. Recipe for romance. Make sure he keeps it in his pants until he is completely in your trance. Sex should not be thought of as a relationship cement or a guarantee that he'll be sharing the rent. Great sex should not be confused with relationship glue, because it's not what makes him want a relationship with you. If you're doing him favors to win his love, you might as well throw in the boxing glove. Because a man is hardwired to be the pursuer, he gets turned off by a woman who's the doer. Oh, here's another rude one. If you're grabbing at his fly, you'll make him want to fly. And another, grabbing at his zipper won't make him want to be your mister. Sex for a man can be like clearing the throat. Meanwhile, he remains emotionally remote with no intention of ever crossing your moat. Women mistakenly see sex as synonymous with a relationship, when for men, the liaison may only be a mere apprenticeship. When a woman easily gives her bottom up, her chances with him go bottom up. If you wait by the phone, you won't find him home. Be receptive rather than proactive. And if you prematurely allow him entrance to your pants, don't assume that you will his heart entrance. When your confidence is an overflowing well, upon him you will cast an irreversible spell. Hunger pains, neediness, and desperation do not make him want to be your close relation. Oh, my word. You can attempt to steal his love, but you'll never be hand in glove. For being a love kleptomaniac is no way to put his love on track. Coming across like a love orphan is most abysmal and will make him want to swallow Pepto-Bismol. If you feel needy, his exit will be speedy. If you're nothing but a sexual pushover, he'll see you as someone he can roll over. Your relationship will be over before it started if you come off as hungry-hearted. And if he thinks of you as an easy lay, he'll put you on permanent layaway. You may ring his bells and whistles when you're in bed, but that won't make you linger in his heart or head. He may think that sex with you is great and still have no plans to make you his mate. And if you're the one who keeps asking him on a date, your relationship will enter a stalemate. All right. So that's what I got for you now for the tweets. And you know what? If you want to check out these tweets and send them along to other people, you can find them. Where are they? They're on my Twitter page. And feel free to share them, because I find that these little poems will really, really help you. Oh, gosh, I even have more. Can you believe this? Let me give you a few more. I want you to have them because they can really help you. It cements in your memory the message. If your efforts are making you feel old, try putting your over-functioning on hold. And though there may be fireworks in the bedroom, your relationship may always be standing room. And when you beg him, you won't bag him. And if you want him to sign on the line, don't give him all your time. When you pretend at playing hard to get, you may make his appetite temporarily wet, but in order for him to be attracted to you for real, your heart must be far from easy to steal. I love this one. The strongest love potion is your self-devotion. If your independence is a game that you only play at, your relationship will never get up to bat. And you may get him in the sack, but will he want you back? Chase, and you lose the race. Okay, so that's it for the tweets, and you'll find them all on Twitter and send them along to your friends and be part of that process. Be the pebble in the pond. Spread the word. Help people become more aware, self-aware, relationship aware. Let me take a little break, and I'll be back with you in a moment on Ask Dr. Love Radio.
You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. To speak to Dr. Turndorf live on the air, call 888-463-6748. That's 888-463-6748. If you like what you're hearing, you can learn about Dr. Turndorf's techniques for turning conflict into connection and healing in her critically acclaimed, groundbreaking book, Till Death Do Us Part, Unless I Kill You First, a step-by-step guide for resolving relationship conflict. Find out more about this book and read a free excerpt by visiting AskDrLove.com. This is Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. And if you have a question for her, please call in now at 888-463-6748. This show is for you, the listeners, so please give her a call now. You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Jamie Turndorf, PhD. Once again, here's Dr. Love.
I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf, and I'm talking about a very hot topic. Are your man-chasing ways chasing men away from you? And I have a question that came in that I opted to answer because it so ties in with the topic today. So it's called Rekindling Love in Alaska, Hopefully. Dr. Love, hi. This is the first time I ever asked someone besides my mother for advice, but now I feel it's like a really great time. So where do I start? I bet you get that a lot. 2 years ago, I met a guy who was in the Coast Guard. We dated for a while and later became a couple. We spent almost every day together and we even got a dog. We went on vacation and always had a lot of fun. Throughout the 2 years I was with him, I always felt a part of me was incomplete. I assumed it had to do with him. I'm not sure if it was the fact that he wasn't affectionate as me or if it was because he was a hard, realistic guy and I'm a romantic. About 5 months ago, he got word that he had been transferred to Anchorage, Alaska, which was a ways away from my hometown, New York, and the city he had been living in the last 3 years. I've never been one for long-distance relationships after failing horribly at a past relationship. I began to panic. We made plans to drive out there together. I was supposed to stay for 3 months and come back home to my family. I was never really gung-ho about going. I'm not sure if it was because I was leaving my family or if I was fearful of such a big commitment. I decided that I wasn't ready for this, and I broke up with him and decided not to go. Since we broke up, I have been on many dates and even had a boyfriend for about 2 months that didn't work out. the whole time or any time I was with other men, I always thought about my coastie. I would be on a date at a restaurant and would envision him walking through the door. Or if I was on a date at the park, I would force myself to see him walking there with our dog. Even though we were broken up, we talked every day since he has left, texting, calling, Skype, regular email, work email. We talk so much that I feel like we never broke up. We constantly tell each other how much we love each other and miss each other. I haven't been happy since he has left. Now, instead of feeling incomplete with him, I feel incomplete without him. Today, he booked my ticket to come visit him. I leave next week. On the other hand, he tells me he wants to get back together, but just not right now because he is afraid I will leave him again. But I have never been more sure that he is the only guy I want. And I told him maybe us being apart was what was supposed to happen, making us realize how much we should be together. The last guy I let this happen with, I really loved, and I was afraid of the long distance. And I don't want this to happen again. Well, this is the big doozy. I bought a men's engagement ring. I know it's not traditional, but what can I say? Love makes you do crazy things. But you're the expert, not me. I planned on seeing how the 9 days together went. And then a day before I'm supposed to leave, I was going to ask him if he said yes. And I planned on staying like I should have the first time. So am I crazy? I have multiple questions for you. Do you think going there is helpful or hurtful? Should I even ask him to get engaged? Is it too early? Laugh out loud. I will take any advice and thank you for your time. Okay, so I have a lot of thoughts in response to your questions because I want you to fasten your seatbelt because this is going to be a bumpy ride we're going to go on together. The first thing I noticed is that your relationship is like a seesaw. You both seem to take turns being the one who voices fear. So first it was you. Now it's he who's got the cold feet. And this is a very, very common thing in relationships. We often unconsciously choose someone who shares our own difficulties, and we take turns carrying the feeling. So when he's feeling scared, you're not, and vice versa. So the fix for this is for both of you to own your fear and voice it, and for you to not go into action. And action, as you see, breaks the connection. Action would be, I'm afraid I break up. Action is, oh, now I'm not afraid I buy a ring. So we want to just stop all the action and just start talking about how you feel, why he's afraid, why you're afraid. And the next thing I noticed was that you felt a part of you was incomplete when you were with him the last time around. Now, perhaps this emptiness drove you to not make the move to live with him. But I want you to find the source of your emptiness because it's very likely that it has nothing to do with him at all. And your relationship, and that beyond him is an old scar from childhood, which I think is leaving you hungry and empty deep inside. And some say that our souls also are always hungry to return to spirit form, and that we're never fully at peace or rest until we do. So what I want you to do is dig and uncover the source of that empty feeling inside yourself. Is it an old wound, an old scar from childhood? And if it is, my book, Till Death Do Us Part, is going to help you identify the wound and know how to heal it. And if it's a spiritual hunger, well, then forming a really loving bond with a soulmate is the best way of filling our soul's emptiness, because it is a little slice of heaven here on earth when you bond with a soulmate, and it is giving you a sense of reconnecting and more connecting fully with God and spirit. Now, what else? You asked me if you should propose to him and give him the ring. Well, in general, I don't think a woman should ever make this kind of move under any circumstances, because doing so goes against the natural order of things that I've been talking about, where men do the pursuing and the courting. Now, beyond this general point, we have your specific situation. He's not asking you to marry him. It means he's not ready. And your asking him is only going to back him up even more. Because look what happened to you the last time. He tried to get you to come and live with him, and you weren't ready, and you backed up. So the two of you are really emotional twins. Don't push him for commitment or marriage at this time. Put the ring away. Put the idea of marriage on layaway for now. Now, instead, I want you to join his fear. Understand why he's afraid. Understand that he's afraid you might bolt again. Talk with him from your heart about why you bailed last time. Because the more he understands what went on with you, the less he's going to be afraid about you and that you might bail on him. And then I want you to just be with him, enjoy each other, talk about your deepest feelings and fears, and let the trust build again. In time, you're both going to help each other move past the fear. And when the fears are resolved, the commitment is going to happen organically. And that's what you want. You want your relationship to flow into commitment organically. So let me know how you make out. All right? Now, I have another question for you. And this one is sort of the opposite of a woman who is over-functioning. Here we've got a woman who is not at all showing the guy that she loves him. And he wants to know, this is the question, does she really love me? Dear Dr. Love, I really need your help in trying to determine whether or not my girlfriend truly loves me or if this is something I should walk away from. I'm in the United States on a temporary work visa from Canada. I live and work in the United States and might very well end up living here in New York permanently. Anyway, about 6 months ago, I met a great girl. We fell in love. Our chemistry is great, and we have an amazing time together. I love her company. The conversation is great. She's very smart and challenges me, and the physical chemistry is also there. We both love each other. She says it all the time, and we have had serious discussions regarding marriage, children, and building a future together. We're very much in love. At least I thought so. A few weeks ago, I ran into an immigration issue. My visa renewal was declined, and I had to leave the country until the matter was resolved. The visa was eventually approved once the lawyers got involved, but it brought me to ask her the question, if I have to leave the country permanently, would she be willing to come with me? Of course, she would have plenty of career opportunities, but there would be some downtime in the transition. I understand it's a difficult question to ask, but she flat out said no. In my mind, if the roles were flipped, I would drop everything to be with her and would follow her anywhere. However, I can be sure she will not reciprocate. A few days after that discussion, she began talking about her younger brother going off to college in California. We live in New York. She then mentioned that if her brother goes to college in California, that she would move away with him and that she wanted me to come with her. Then earlier this week, we had a discussion in regards to finding a new apartment. I have two dogs, and finding apartments isn't the easiest task. She wants to live in one specific neighborhood, but is aware that having these two dogs will make things difficult. She went on to mention that if my dogs got in the way of us finding a new apartment, she was going to move into her own place. These conversations got me thinking, does she really love me? Lately, we've been fighting quite a lot. She instantly begins screaming at me once I even slightly mention how I feel about any topic, and then she says I'm arguing. She won't have a conversation with me, and if she does, it's always my fault. It's gotten to the point where if I need to talk about something with her, I always end up apologizing and taking a few verbal bumps just to work through an issue. Other times, she simply walks away from me, rolls her eyes, gives me the silent treatment, and so on. She's extremely hard-headed and admits it herself. I do love her, and she says she loves me, but lately I just don't know anymore. Please help. Should I just walk away? Thank you. Okay, so the first thing you asked me was, does she love you? And if you're asking, you're not getting the right feeling from her. Now, this girl seems to be not the best relationship material because she sounds rigid. It's my way or the highway, and she sounds selfish. She wouldn't move to where you had to go, but she would move to where her brother lives, and she would expect you to follow her. She said that she'd find her own place if your dogs are an impediment, and you can't talk to her. She's fragile, and she becomes defensive and then hostile, rolling her eyes and punitive, giving you the silent treatment, and this is before you're even living together. And there's an old saying, what doesn't get better gets worse. So you have to consider the fact that she is on her best behavior for right now. And this is after all the honeymoon period. And this is, if this is the kind of behavior you're getting now, what do you think you're going to get when the relationship is made official? she'll feel even more comfortable, meaning she'll get even more crappy in her treatment of you. Now, the question isn't whether she loves you. She very well may. But you're going to be miserable with her if she doesn't change her ways. And a relationship requires give and take. You have to have the courage to call her on her behavior and ask that she work on herself. And she needs to hear what she is doing, that she's wiping you out of the equation, that it's her way or the highway, which is pushing you away from her and making you doubt whether you want to go forward. And she needs to hear that what she is doing regarding the dogs says that she is placing her household needs ahead of you in the relationship. And you need to tell her that she is not open to hearing how you feel and how she comes across. My book, Till Death Do Us Part, is going to show you how to talk to her, someone like her who is defensive, which means that she's really fragile underneath her cover. And it's going to show you how to present your issues so that you can speak them in a way that will help her hear you. Now, if she still refuses to take you in, then what you see is what you get. And then you have to think long and hard about whether you want to make a life with her. If you need further help with this, don't hesitate to reach out to me in my private consulting division, okay? Because I don't want you to go and jump into getting married or living with her until you straighten out some of this stuff with her, all right? So let me know how you do. Now, let me just take a brief break, and when I come back, I'm going to tell you about that couple that's 60 years old and he's not moving forward.
You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. To speak to Dr. Turndorf live on the air, call 888-463-6748. That's 888-463-6748. If you've recently been through a breakup and are looking for a second chance, wondering how you can reconcile with your ex, or if it's even possible after all you've been through, Dr. Turndorf's latest book, Make Up, Don't Break Up, presents her five-step plan for reconciling with your ex. This plan was developed out of years of research, working with thousands of couples at her Center for Emotional Communication. This is a proven no-hype and no-nonsense method that gets right to the root of the problem to guide you to the right path towards reigniting a lasting relationship. For more about Make Up, Don't Break Up, visit AskDrLove.com. You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Jamie Turndorf, PhD. Once again, here's Dr. Love.
I promised to give you the question next about the 60-year-old couple where the guy who's 60 is getting cold feet. So here's the question. It's called Not Moving Forward After 8 Months. My boyfriend and I are both 60 years old. He never married and me divorced for 24 years. Healthy, youngish, and have a great sexual and intellectual chemistry. I was celibate for 7 years before I met him, and this relationship has made me feel like a 20-something in many ways. Never thought I'd find love again, him too. He pursued me like gangbusters and told me he loved me first after about 2 months. And we see each other about once a week, usually his place, sometimes 2 times, and talk almost every day on the phone. I'd like to see him more in other contexts, but he's content with the way it is. He has few friends whom I haven't met yet. After being in Norway for 2 months this summer on a job assignment, he's a freelance film editor. Upon his return, I had a 3-day getaway planned to Toronto later in August to celebrate our birthdays, 3 days apart from each other, that we missed when he was gone. He didn't want to go. I sensed his fear about being 3 days together. He said we need to take baby steps, known each other only 8 months, etc., etc. Yet we act like a married couple by just hanging out. He doesn't want to do or take the initiative to do different things, even though he mentions it, but it never happens. Yet when I state my needs or bring this area up and have asked him to do different things, he declines or doesn't feel like it. He gets upset and he'll say stuff like, oh, I'm just a scumbag, or I'm not a good enough boyfriend, or he'll say, I know, you've said it so many times already, etc., etc. But he doesn't seem to move with these baby steps. We do love each other, and he does express it pretty often, but I just don't get this stagnation. Do I wait? How long? I don't want to manipulate, but how can I get him to understand my needs, or what steps do I take? I'm experiencing the outside world by myself, going with my sister to Toronto and doing everyday things and activities, but we don't share any of this. Life is too short. Okay. So listen, your boyfriend is what I call a classic intimacy phobic. The fact that he never married in his 60 years of life tells me just how scared he is. The more you push on him, the more he's going to back up. So I suggest instead that you talk about his fear. He has to feel that you aren't talking about his feelings because you have an ulterior motive to twist his arm and make him move forward. So if you can temporarily surrender your agenda and just get him talking about his fear, we have a good shot at resolving it. When the fear resolves, he'll want to move forward on his own. So let's face it, trying to get him to move before he's ready is about as effective as whipping a donkey when it's frozen in place. My book, Till Death Do Us Part, is going to show you how to identify the exact wound that causes his impasse and all relationship impasses and conflicts. And it outlines the cures for each of the old scars. Now, read the book, and it's going to help you get a better understanding of the various causes of his type of fear. And this information combined with what you know about his history is going to help you orchestrate the discussion. Now, while you're looking into old scars, you want to look into yours too, because don't forget, you picked a guy who's distant and unavailable, and you were single for nearly a quarter of a century. So you want to look at how you have your own intimacy fears and how choosing a guy like this who holds you at arm's length serves you as well. So you understand it's a balance. It's not all about him. Now, to come back to him, his kind of fear is most often the result of having been raised by a parent who smothered or controlled him. And as a result, his identity as a separate person with distinct what we call ego boundaries never fully formed. And this makes a person afraid of getting too close to another for fear of being swallowed up, controlled, devoured, taken over. So my book, Till Death Do Us Part, is going to show you how to use your relationship with him to help him build trust in you and heal the problem so that he'll know that he can be close to you and still have space. And I'm really confident that you can resolve the issue. But the key is to not put pressure on him, because doing so is going to shore up his armor and make him less accessible to healing. So, of course, if he doesn't resolve his issue with your help, you can then choose to accept him as he is, damaged goods and all, or move forward without him. So I really want to know how all this works out for you. I'm really rooting for you. All right, so now I want to go take a little trip from the living room into the bedroom where I'm going to read between the sheets. And this question is a really interesting question, because we're talking about something that would just seem like a simple, oh, he doesn't like kissing. Oh, and if I can only get him to kiss me, we'll sail off happily into the sunset. But as you'll see, as I read between the sheets, there's more to this story, more behind this lip lock deadlock than meets the eye. So here's the question. My husband loves me, but doesn't like kissing. Dear Dr. Love, I've had many discussions with my husband on why he doesn't like to kiss me passionately. He said that he doesn't like kissing, though at the beginning we kissed all the time. It's hard to get passionate without kissing. I've asked that we sit and kiss, and he laughs, or he just tries and kisses me because he knows that I like it, but it's not good if his heart isn't into it. Now I don't want to kiss him. The passion has died, and I have no idea how to ignite it again. I mentioned going on dates, and he will take me on one and then nothing until I mention it again. His mind is not on me. I've asked if there was anyone else, and he has said no. Do men just throw in the towel after they're married and think life is set for them? We've been married for 7 years and have 2 children. He's a great dad and partner, but when it comes to the intimate stuff, it's just not there. I feel disconnected that way. Though I have openly discussed it many times with him, I even read him a marriage book, he takes it in for a week and then it's back to normal. Now, if I mention anything about it, his response is, here we go again. Very frustrating. All right, listen. There's 2 things that can be causing this lip lock deadlock. The first is your husband is either pissed off with you and expressing it by withholding what he knows that you want, and or he's suffering from what I call the caveman complex. So let me break this down and I'll explain to you both possible explanations. In the first scenario, he's expressing anger by withholding what he knows you want, in this case, passionate kissing. This behavior stems from what's called a passive-aggressive personality disorder. That's a mouthful. Now, with this problem, a person vents anger indirectly by withholding, delaying, and quote-unquote forgetting what the other person wants. Knowing him as you do, only you can say whether this fits or not. Now, if you think that he's expressing anger to you toward you indirectly, then talk to him about what you've done to piss him off or not meet his needs. And if this theory is right, once he puts his feelings into words and feels heard and understood by you, he will no longer need to behave in a withholding way. Because when feelings are put into words, then they don't need to be expressed in actions. Okay? Now, it's important that you don't get into a deadlock over the lack of lip locks, because it would be easy for you to stand on ceremony and hold to a power struggle where you don't respond to him because he's not responding to you. So the thing is, you want to break the power struggle by letting go of the rope. So you need to be big enough to see that if he's cheating you of what you want, he must be feeling cheated by you. And if you don't stand on ceremony and you respond to his needs, his anger is going to diminish and he'll be more responsive to you. So ultimately, your gift to him will come back to you. And I would take this approach first. Now, if he doesn't have any disappointments to share and he doesn't cop to having anger, then let's move to the second scenario, that he's just lazy and taking your needs for granted. Now, this could be the case of what I call the caveman complex. You know, guys are wired to win a woman's love. That's what I've been talking about. But once they've banged her over the head and dragged her back to the cave, she's in the bag and they don't have to work for her anymore. So here's where the woman comes in. You've fallen into the role of his nagging, pleading, begging, chasing, pursuing wife and mother. So rather than raising your worth in his eyes, you are playing a very weak card. And all of this makes you seem stuck and powerless. So he doesn't have to change a thing because you'll just keep taking his neglect and his unresponsiveness. So in cases like this, a woman needs to endorse and love herself by going out, getting her needs met outside the marriage. Now, I don't mean that you should find a man to kiss you. I mean, get out there and start filling your own tank. See friends, take a course, learn to dance. When you do this, suddenly you're not going to feel like such a done deal to him. He's going to have to work to win you back and keep you. And this is how it always should be. A man needs to work to keep his woman. And if he doesn't, she's gone. So you don't need to issue threats. Just start taking care of yourself. And watch how he stands up and takes notice. And watch how his lips start smacking when he begins to worry that you might send him packing. All right? This will be the ticket for you. Now, that's pretty much all I've got for you today. I'm thinking that one of the hardest things to do, and this you're going to find is a very, very difficult thing for you to do, is to sit with your own anxiety. And if you can sit with the fear of, gee, if I don't chase the guy, maybe I won't win him, maybe he won't want me, sit with the anxiety, develop the psychic muscles to bear that weight. And when you do, and focus more and more on loving yourself and being your own one-woman band, you're going to find the anxiety will diminish and you're going to start to feel more and more worthy, and everything is going to switch for you, and you're just going to give up that mountain trekking after a man. So love yourself and love will come back to you. I am so happy to be with you today, and I hope you have a week filled with lots of self-love. And I will see you next week on Ask Dr. Love Radio. Take care.